In the Warren County Radio Bible School today, we're going to be looking at a Sunday school lesson on Elijah on Mount Carmel. The lesson text will come from 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 30 through 39. You may want to turn there in your Bible and follow along. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's look at this Sunday school lesson. It was prepared by E. A. Elam for the Sunday schools of October the 2nd, 1927. The reading comes from the American Standard Version of 1901. 1 Kings 18, 30 through 39. And Elijah said unto all the people, "Come near unto me." And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of Jehovah that was thrown down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of Jehovah came, saying, "Israel shall be thy name." And with the stones he built an altar in the name of Jehovah. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as could contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid it on the wood. And he said, "Fill 4 jars of water, pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood." And he said, "Do it the second time." And they did it the second time. And he said, "Do it the third time." And they did it the third time. And the water ran around about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening oblation that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "O Jehovah, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Jehovah, hear me, that this people may know that thou, Jehovah, art God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." Then the fire of Jehovah fell and consumed the burnt offering, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, "Jehovah, he is God. Jehovah, he is God." The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is found back in the book of Joshua, chapter 24 and verse 15. "Choose you this day whom ye shall serve." The devotional reading is Psalm 115. "Not unto us, O Jehovah, not unto us, but unto thy name will give glory, for loving kindness and for truth's sake. Wherefore should the nation say, 'Where now is their God?' But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them shall be like unto them, and every one that trusteth in them." O Israel, trust in Jehovah. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust ye in Jehovah. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear Jehovah, trust in Jehovah. He is their help and their shield. Jehovah hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear Jehovah, both small and great. Jehovah increase you more and more, you and your children. Blessed are ye of Jehovah, who hath made heaven and earth. The heavens are the heavens of Jehovah, but the earth he hath given to the children of men. The dead praise not Jehovah, neither any that go down into silence, but we will bless Jehovah from this time forth and forevermore. Praise ye Jehovah. That is the 115th Psalm. Let me talk about some geographical notes. Mount Carmel. Well, Mount Carmel means garden land. It is one of the most noted mountains of the Bible, being connected with two famous prophets, Elijah and Elisha. It extended southeast from the Mediterranean about 12 miles into the corner of Samaria. There's a wall between the famous plain of Esdraelon on the north and the plain of Sharon on the south. The western end was a promontory, running almost to the sea. The highest point is about 4 miles from the eastern end and is 1,728 feet above the sea. Its sides, we are told, are covered with flowers, shrubs, and trees of the most beautiful and fragrant kind. No other mention is made in the Bible of the book of Cherith. It flowed by into the Jordan. Elijah was commanded to hide himself by the brook in 1 Kings 17:1-7. And then there is Zarephath. It was a town in the land of Sidon. It was brought into notice by being the place where Elijah spent the latter part of the drought mentioned in this lesson, and where he raised to life the widow's son. It is mentioned by Obadiah and by Jesus in Luke 4:26. When I went into that land, the bus we were on went to the top of Mount Carmel, and there we stood where some suppose this contest took place. I remember it was a cold and rainy day, but indeed the vegetation on that mountain was lush and beautiful. I can understand how Mount Carmel could be called the mountain of the garden land. Now, let me give an introduction to this Sunday school lesson. Let's talk about the previous kings, since we're studying the history of the kingdom of Israel together with some of its prophets. We should know its kings down to Ahab. We had a previous lesson about the origin of this kingdom. Jeroboam was its first king and reigned 22 years. He was succeeded by his son Nadab, who reigned 2 years. Baasha, the son of Ahijah, slew Nadab and all the house of Jeroboam, and reigned for 24 years. He reigned in Tisra, that was the second capital. Elah, the son of Baasha, succeeded his father and reigned in Tisra 2 years. And Zimri, Elah's servant, slew him and all the house of Baasha, but reigned only 7 days. Israel then made Omri the captain of the army king, and he reigned 12 years and 6 months. He built Samaria and made it the capital of his kingdom. Ahab, Omri's son, succeeded him and reigned 22 years. The kingdom down to Ahab had already had four different dynasties and had been filled with assassinations, wars, bloodshed, and such like. Let's look at the condition of Israel. Ahab was king in Israel, and the wicked Jezebel was his wife. Israel had forsaken the faith and worship of Jehovah, while Jeroboam had introduced the calves. He and other kings acknowledged Jehovah, introduced the worship of Baal, the idolatry of the heathen, Sidonians. The kingdom was in the deepest and densest darkness of idolatry and wickedness, for which it was suffering a terrible drought. Jesus and James say it continued 3 years and 6 months. Luke 4:25, James 5:17. Let's look at Elijah and his character. We know nothing concerning the parentage and birthplace of Elijah or his early life. He was one of the sojourners of Gilead, which implies he removed Gilead from some other place. No reason is given for his doing this. He had the characteristics of a Gileadite and had been called a typical mountaineer. He manifested great physical courage, and he was strong and fleet. He wore the dress of a prophet, a garment of hair, and a girdle of leather about his loins. He wore also a mantle or a cape. In this he hid his face in reverence for Jehovah. This he cast upon Elisha. With this he divided the Jordan, as this he dropped as he ascended into heaven. And with this Elisha also divided the Jordan. Elijah the Tishbite has been well entitled the grandest and the most romantic character that Israel produced. Certainly there is no personage in the New Old Testament whose career is more vividly portrayed or who exercises on us a more remarkable fascination. His rare, sudden, and brief appearances, his undaunted courage and fiery zeal, the brilliance of his triumph, the pathos of his despondency, the glory of his departure, and the calm beauty of his reappearance on the Mount of Transfiguration. These throw such a halo of brightness about him as is eternal by none of his compeers in the sacred story. The ignorance in which we are left of the circumstances and incidences of the man who died and suffered so much doubtless contributes to enhance our interest in the story and in the character. We have studied Elijah's character and work, and once we have done so, we can see that John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah. His dress was similar to that of Elijah, and there is no parallel history of Elijah in the Chronicles. Well, there's a challenge to Baal. As lightning from a clear sky, as we sometimes say, Elijah, in our first introduction to him, appeared before Ahab and said, "There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." God had foretold that if his people would not obey him, with other curses should come drought, and the heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thy feet shall be iron. Deuteronomy 28. This was a direct challenge to Baal, because Baal was the god of production and agriculture. Since Ahab had turned away from Jehovah to serve Baal, let Baal supply the dew and the rain. If he could not, then he was nothing. God spoke through Elijah, and it did not rain except as Elijah said. God did this through Elijah to show that he was the true and loyal prophet. He sent Elijah to Ahab to let Ahab know that it was the God of Israel against whom he was sinning that God was thus chastening him and Israel. Well, we're going to have to continue this in the next class, but it's quite a glorious contest on old Mount Carmel.